All right. Good morning. How are we doing today? I know these chairs are a little comfortable for that lack of sleep last night. So we're going to have to lean in and wake up today. How many are grateful for the coffee ministry, especially today? Come on, can we give it up for them? I needed that extra hour, but it's good to be here. I don't get a chance to be here very often, but it's amazing to see what God is doing across all of our campuses. But, you know, I'm really excited about the future of Liberty in Baldwin County and just love Pastor Cliff. I know you guys love Pastor Cliff and Amy. Can you thank God for your leaders here? And I asked him to do a little bit of a campus swap. So he's over at the Blue Angel campus preaching all day. And here I am. And so I'm really glad to be here. But if you have a Bible, go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I know last weekend, Pastor Cliff started our series, Nobodies. And I just want to jump back into that this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1 is where we're going to be. While you're going there, if you had to make a list of the most influential people in the world, who would make that list? If you went back to, let's just say, if you started at 1900, in our era, if you will, it's amazing to think about what has changed since 1900. Who would make the list of the most influential people in the world? Certainly since then, there's been lots of technological advancements. You think about the Wright brothers, think about Henry Ford, think about in our era, Mark Zuckerberg, inventor of Facebook. I don't know if you realize this, but Facebook has bought all kinds of social media platforms, but literally 2.2 billion people use Facebook every single day. So this isn't like just people that have profiles. These are people that actually use it every day. And so it's a powerful thing. Certainly in our era, you could think about Jeff Bezos, who started Amazon and is making all of us lazy. Come on, how many like that one-click shopping? You know, I don't know if you realize this, but they're actually working on drones to take the package from the warehouse and fly it and drop it right off in our front yard. That's an amazing thing. We could talk about people who've made a big difference socially in our world. Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King Jr. We could talk about political leaders, both good and bad. Adolf Hitler certainly has changed our world. You could think about Harry Truman or Franklin Roosevelt, who led our country in a very difficult time. Lots of people could come to mind, but I want to this morning raise somebody that may not be on anybody's radar and of the most influential people in the world. And his name is Edward Kimball. And I don't know if anybody recognizes Edward Kimball. Here's a picture of him. And at the end of the service, I want to talk a little bit more about Edward Kimball, but I just want to sow that seed to think about this man who, in many ways, I believe has changed the world and yet doesn't get much credit for it. So we could talk about people who've changed the world, but what about people who've changed your life? What about the people that have influenced you in positive ways? If you had to make a list of the people who have impacted you personally, who would be on that list? When I started writing this message, I went to my wife. Usually most of my best sermons happen out of a conversation with my wife. She's the smartest, most godliest woman I know. So I usually run some of the sermon over to her, see what she thinks about it. She didn't know what I was going to talk about, so I just asked her a question. I said, Kristen, if you could name the top three most influential people in your life, who would it be? And she didn't have to think about it. Came out real quick. She just said, Jesus, Mother Teresa, and my youth pastor. And I was like, wow, that's a powerful and an incredible list. I had to go back and change my list because it wasn't nearly as godly. My list was Hulk Hogan, my baseball coach, and my mom. You know, those are my three. I don't know whose yours is, but I would imagine that it probably has a coach or a teacher, maybe a hardworking parent, maybe a friend who stepped in at a time that you needed them the most. And here's what I've just concluded is that there's a good chance that the people who have changed the world in dramatic ways aren't the same people who have changed our personal lives. Usually the people that change our personal lives are not people that we look up to from afar, even though we're inspired by leaders and even they change our lives. The people that impact our lives the most are people who are actually involved in our life. Come on, somebody say amen to that. How many know that you've had some people in your life that you've had a relationship with that have influenced and impacted your life personally. And this is really what we're talking about. And if I could kind of sum up this series and maybe this sermon today, is that little known doesn't mean less important. Little known doesn't mean less important. I would imagine the people that have impacted your life, they've never been on a magazine cover. They probably never got an award for anything. And yet they've impacted our lives in a powerful way. I believe that oftentimes we value things differently than God does. When Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he used a metaphor for us as a church, as we're sort of like a body. Like if you think about a human body and all of its unique parts, the different parts have different functions, and he addresses our tendency in life to value others and devalue others. And he says the parts of the body, speaking of us as individual parts, he says, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. I mean, no, we need our hand. It's not just our eye, right? He's saying the parts of the body are, we are interdependent. We are connected, that there is value in each part of the body. He goes on in 1 Corinthians 12:22. He says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Everybody say indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. That's an amazing thing. You know, we tend to overlook and underappreciate people in our lives. There are people that have made impact in our lives. There's other people that we don't know, and they necessarily haven't, we haven't had a relationship with them, and yet they play a valuable part in the life of the church and in the body of Christ. And many of us in this room, we feel that way. We feel like we've been overlooked. We feel like no one notices, or what I have to contribute really isn't valuable, or maybe you feel insignificant, that there's people in the body of Christ that play significant roles, but I just do normal stuff. I don't do special and incredible things. I just do practical things. And this is exactly what Paul is speaking to. He says, no, no, no. If you feel like what you do doesn't matter, I want you to know that you're indispensable. Look at your neighbor and say you're indispensable. Go ahead. You're critical. And what we have to do is the parts of the body that we don't naturally see as valuable and important, we have to make the decision to hold them up in special honor. It's amazing. When you think about people, I don't know if you realize this, but how many know that God created people different than every other part of creation? That he stamped creation with his power and his majesty, but when he created people, you and I, every single one of us, he created us unique in comparison to every other part of creation. That he made us, the Bible says, just a little bit lower than the angels, and he stamps every human life. Not only does he deposit a gift on the inside of every individual, but we're also made in the very image of God, the imago Dei of God. And whenever we disrespect or we devalue or we dishonor people, we dishonor God. We don't value people accordingly. The definition of to disrespect means to treat something valuable as common. That's what my kids do all the time. They don't realize how valuable certain things are, you know. My son and his friend were playing baseball in the living room yesterday. I was like, son, this stuff around here is valuable. This isn't a baseball field. Go outside. But that's how we treat each other. I love what C.S. Lewis said. He says, there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are all mortal, and their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. But it is immortals whom we joke with, whom we marry, whom we snub, who we work with, and who we exploit. Now, he's not saying that we're all gods. He's saying there's something valuable and something special in each one of us, that we are all eternal beings having a temporary experience. Therefore, we need to value each other the way that God values the people around us. Somebody say amen to that. Your life matters to God. You may not be known by anybody else, but God knows you. God knows your story. He's well acquainted with you, and he thinks you're valuable. He thinks you're worthy of honor. When it comes to our life, if you think about it personally, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, there's this innate desire in every individual to make an impact, to know that their life matters, that their life has more significance than working from 9 to 5, or having a white picket fence, having a 2-car garage with a Volvo. But our life matters more significantly than that. We all in this room and every person that you've ever seen, there's something, though we may have quenched it, maybe we have grown a bit apathetic about it, or maybe we're just calloused by it, but every one of us wants to know that our life matters, that our life has an impact, that we positively influence somebody else. And I believe it's a God thing that he places on the inside of us. But far too often, though we all desire to make an impact, many ways we settle instead of making an impact, we just settle by impressing others. We settle by developing a certain opinion, a certain reputation, if people think that we're important, that if people think that we're significant, that somehow it will deal with the insecurities that I have in my life. You know, if you read the Gospels, you read the story of how Jesus invested his life in 12 people, okay? Now, he had interactions with hundreds and thousands, but largely, Jesus proved that you can change the world by investing in 12 people. And in fact, the last night before he went onto the cross, he spent the last night of his life around a table with his closest friends. He had all these interactions with his disciples. And one of the common things that happened as Jesus was living life with his disciples, a common conversation came up among his disciples. And ultimately, it led to an argument. And that argument is recorded in one place in Luke 22. It says, then they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. That seems to be a bit awkward, doesn't it? Like, basically, the disciples are sitting around arguing, like, who's the best Christian out of this group? And they're comparing themselves. In other places, it says, who gets to sit at the right hand? Who gets to sit at your right hand in the kingdom? Who gets a prominent place in your kingdom? And I just think that that's really awkward. When we think to ourselves, we don't do things like that. It's not so overt as that. But how many know we do stuff just like that? Who's the greatest? I guarantee you could walk down the hall and go into the kids' church right now, and there's probably 3 or 4 boys huddled in a corner trying to figure out who's the fastest. They're probably a race going to break out before church is over this morning. There's something in us that wants to feel like we're special or we're important. And oftentimes this need that we have to impress one another is almost like the underside of this God-given thing that we have to want to make an impact. And of course, Jesus dealt with this with the religious folks. You know, think about the Pharisees that he had a problem with. One of the big issues that he had with them is that their religious faith had turned into a show. He didn't really criticize them because their theology was wrong. He just criticized them because, in many ways, their faith just became all about optics and what people perceived them to be. And in Matthew 23, he makes this overarching statement. He says, everything they do is for people to see. When they give, it says that they announce their giving with trumpets, make sure that people notice and recognize when we give sacrificially. When they pray, they stand on the corner and they pray these eloquent prayers to gather everybody's attention to think, wow, he's an amazing prayer. When they fast, it says they make their face disheveled, make themselves look like they're struggling and suffering so that people will look at them and go, this is somebody that's willing to sacrifice everything for their relationship with God. And in this case, in Matthew chapter 23, he says that they make their phylacteries wide so that people can see. And that's a bit of a strange thing. He makes their phylacteries wide. And I don't know if you know what a phylactery is, but I brought a picture of it. Maybe they can pull it up. But the phylactery is a little box on their head. And inside that box, it contains portions of God's word. And what literally he's saying is they make it so big so that everybody will notice and think, wow, this is somebody that really loves the Bible here, which is just awkward and obnoxious, isn't it? And we do the same thing. We live our life at times trying to impress people rather than actually impacting them. And that is a choice that we have to make. And today, really, I want to talk about somebody who made an impact, and I want to talk about Timothy. Timothy is one of those heroes in the New Testament, though he doesn't get a lot of fanfare. Honestly, in many ways, Timothy is known for who he supports and who he's partnered with more than what he did. The Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he called him a son in the Lord. He was Paul's partner in ministry. He traveled with Paul as he planted churches, was a key evangelist in the spread of the gospel in the first century. If Paul had an important task that he sent his son Timothy because he entrusted him, he said that I have nobody like Timothy that shares my concern for the churches. Timothy was a powerful man who made a significant dent and an impact. In fact, it could be said that Timothy co-authored the Bible with Paul. He was there as he was writing it and was a part of the distribution of these letters that Paul would write to the various churches. Timothy has two books of the Bible written after his name as Paul penned those books in a letter to his son. Timothy would go on and pastor the church at Ephesus, one of the great churches in the first century and in the New Testament. Timothy suffered death like many New Testament leaders did and many first century leaders did as he was martyred for standing up and opposing those who wanted to honor a pagan goddess. And as a result, he was stoned and he was killed. Timothy was behind Paul's activity. It could be said that Timothy was the man behind the man. The Apostle Paul, probably in all the New Testament, other than Jesus, the most prominent figure, made the biggest difference. In fact, the reason we're here today has a lot to do with Paul's life because he was instrumental in the gospel going from where it was born there in Jerusalem and in the spreading of it around the world. And Timothy played a massive part in it. I don't want to talk about Timothy, actually. Timothy was the man behind the man, but who was behind the man behind the man? 2 Timothy chapter 1 gives us some insight into Timothy, this guy that we know little about. But I love what it says. It says, this is Timothy. Siri's coming on right now. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. And he says this. He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Who's behind the man behind the man? Well, it was his mama, Eunice, and his grandmama, Lois. Paul says that, Timothy, I know that you have a sincere faith, and the faith that you're living out is a perfect reflection of the two most important women in your life, your mom and your grandma. Now, I don't know if this could be said about you, but I can say this without hesitation, without any hesitation in my life. The reason I'm here today is because of my mama. Thank God that I have a praying mom. Now, I don't know if you got a great relationship with your mom, but I know in many ways, many of us, obviously we're here practically, but I am in the position that I'm in because of the love, the support, and the sincere faith that my mother modeled for me. Maybe if anything else happens, maybe we should take this afternoon and go call our mom and tell her how grateful we are for her. Timothy, I am persuaded that the faith that I know resides in your mom, Eunice, and your grandmother, Lois, now lives in you. What an amazing thing. Now, it is speculated that Timothy was raised by a single mom, just to add a little bit more to the dynamic. The Bible talks about Timothy's dad, but it's just made in a casual mention that Timothy's mother was Jewish and Timothy's dad was Greek. No other mention is made of him. And yet Timothy's life and his faith was shaped by his mother. The dad wasn't around. The dad wasn't invested. And yet God used the faith of a single mom and a grandmother to foster and nurture this world-changing man named Timothy. Can I just take a time out and pause? And let me encourage you, maybe there's some single moms here this morning that you feel concerned because your kids in your mind are not being raised in an ideal situation. You don't have the dad's support. You feel scared that maybe your child may turn out to be something that's not something that you want it to be. Timothy stands as a testimony to encourage every single one of us that God works in powerful ways through less than ideal situations. Come on, somebody. Somebody say amen to that. Yeah. Be encouraged today. Be encouraged that God will use and get some help sometime. You know, call a Lois in your life to come in and invest alongside of you. You know, not only that, but I actually look at this story And not only is it less than ideal, but it would have been sinful for someone to have a romantic relationship in those days with somebody that wasn't Jewish. So it was against the law for Timothy's mom to be married to or have a romantic relationship with a man who was not Jewish. And this serves as another great example and a great encouragement that God not only works through less than ideal situations, but God will even work through our sinful choices to bring about his plan and his purpose. And if you even take a step further, the fact that Timothy's mom was Jewish and his dad was Greek actually positioned him perfectly to serve the Apostle Paul, because Paul's mandate largely was to take this gospel beyond the Jewish crowd and to impact the Gentile world. And Timothy had a perspective that nobody else would have in that moment. It just serves as an encouragement. Some of us look at where we've come from. We look at what's happened in our life, and we have concluded wrongly. God, he works in powerful ways through less than ideal situations in the middle of all of our failure to prepare us for the future that he has for us. I love Romans 8:28, that he calls us all things. Everybody say all things. He calls us all things to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You know what? Your situation is not the loophole to that promise. The stuff that you've went through, no matter how difficult, no matter how bleak, if we entrust those things to God, in time, we will see that he even weaves the worst parts of our story into a story of redemption in our lives. That's the story, the witness of Timothy, his faith-filled mom, Eunice, and his faith-filled grandmother, Lois. Awesome. I know my mom's definitely in my top three. I thank God for that. And even now, you know, I thank God for the roles not only of my mother, but of women who are a little bit older than me that can bring me alongside. You know, I have two ladies, and when I get finished preaching at the Blue Angel campus, they're always standing at the steps ready to receive me and to tell me how amazing that sermon was when I was done. And I don't even care if they're lying. Flattery goes a long way, all right? You just tell me it's good, I'm going to be drawn towards you, all right? But I got this sweet lady. She's the most encouraging, godly woman. She's like a mother to me, that just every time I see her, she's always so encouraging, just wants to make sure that I know how special I am to her. Can I tell you something? We need people in our lives like that. The Apostle Paul makes a statement in Romans 16, verse 13. He says, greet Rufus. Everybody say Rufus. You didn't know that was a Bible name, did you? Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me also. I love that. We don't know her name. We don't know her story, but she made a dent, an impact in Paul's life. So many people in our life are just like that. They're footnotes in the story, and yet they make a massive impact. More is said about Eunice and Lois in 2 Timothy 3. Paul writes to him, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things had happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from them all. And in fact, here's a great place to highlight, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Notice this, verse 14. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it. You weren't just taught something, but you were witnesses to the fact that it wasn't just instructors, but you were convinced that it was actually people who were living out their faith in real time. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ, or through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, obviously, this text sort of speaks to, and maybe sort of a little bit more emphasis placed on us as parents, but this applies to everybody. Just a few simple ways that we can make an impact in people's lives. And the first thing is this: do not underestimate how your life affects others. Do not underestimate how your life affects other people. People are paying attention. I mean, especially you think about my kids. I got two boys, 13 and 11 years old. They're like sponges. They're like watching everything. My little 11-year-old's got a far better memory than I have myself. I mean, he is paying attention. He keeps me on my toes because I know he watches and he replays all the things that's happened. People are watching. Some people in your life, they're watching you. They're not only hearing what you're saying, but they're watching how you live your life. And that's both a responsibility and it's a great challenge. Many of you, you are the only Bible that some people ever see. Paul says you're like a written epistle, written by the blood of Christ, by the pen of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. Your life makes a big difference and it makes a big impact. This is what Lois and this is what Eunice was doing in his life. And can I also encourage you? We don't know Timothy's dad, but if you're a man here specifically and you're relying on the mother of your children or you're relying on your wife to set the tone spiritually in your house, your kids will follow your example. If you make Christ the center of your life, the focus of your life, your kids will follow suit. Come on. We got to step up and to become the people that God has called us to be. Don't underestimate how your life affects other people. Mother Teresa says, small things done with great love will change the world. Some of us think what we do is not important. You know, Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, there's a blessing attached to it. Don't underestimate the small things that we do consistently over time in the life of somebody else. Timothy's a great example of that. Number two is we got to step into need. If you want to make an impact in people's life, it's real simple. You just need to step into need. Whenever the disciples would argue about who's the greatest, Jesus would always come back to this conversation. He says, if you want to be great, that's wonderful. Whoever wants to be first has to make themselves last. And if you want to be great, all you have to do is serve. You don't have to be old to serve. You don't have to be young to serve. You don't have to be gifted to serve. You don't have to have a platform to serve. All you got to do is find a need, meet the need. I think sometimes we just make this overcomplicated. A great life, a life of meaning and impact is when we notice need and we step in to meet that need. That's what Lois was doing. That's what Eunice was doing. Eunice stepped in. It was her responsibility to serve and to care for Timothy. There was a need that was there and she invested in Timothy consistently and over time. And Lois, she was ready to retire. She was planning to move to South Florida. But instead, she steps in to meet the need. Step into need. Number three is be someone who sees potential. We got to be prophetic people, almost like people that don't see things as they are, but they see things how they could be. And we begin to invest in people, not because of where they're at, but because of what we see them becoming. Paul says that Lois and Eunice invested the word of God in you while you were an infant. And while you were an infant, as they began to impress the word, it prepared you for the moment that you could respond to salvation in the end. We serve people into their future. We don't shame people into their future. We bless, we nurture, we foster people into the future that God has for them. There's a room full of people that are making a difference in the world and you don't even know it. But I want you to know, I maybe see something in you that you don't even see in yourself. God has great things for your life. You have way too much experience to be sitting on the sidelines. You have way too many things on the inside of you than just to sit and to spectate and to go through life. God wants to tap into those resources that he's placed on the inside of you to make a difference around the world. You have enough in you to make a difference. See potential. I don't know what number it is, but the next one is be real. Just be real. I love that it says, I see that you have a sincere faith. And I've seen that sincere faith before. I've seen it in your mom and your grandma. You know what, people, when I say we got to be real, I'm not saying that you got to be perfect. That's a lot of times our dilemma and our challenge when we think of making an impact. We think, well, I don't know everything there is to know about the Bible. I don't know how I'm going to answer their questions when they have them. I mean, I've got some flaws and I've made some mistakes. I'm not trying to apply pressure to those of us when I say, hey, people are watching your life. I want to add pressure to you to make sure that you're living a life worthy of the calling that you have received. But one thing I've discovered is what people want more than seeing perfect people is people want to see honest people. People want to see honesty. In fact, the Bible says that God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. And what I've discovered is that people are just like God in that sense. People are willing to. They are attracted to people in their humble brokenness to come closer to them. But when someone pretends that they got it all together, it's like repelling. It just repels people away. Come on, you just got to be yourself. You got to be real right where you're at. And I don't mean to diminish and to shortchange if there's some things and areas in your life that you need to change. But at the end of the day, you got to model the reality of your life in front of the people around you. I love what one person said. You teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. What a scary thought. You know, one day I want my kids, because of my relationship with my two boys, I want my boys to think if God is anything like my daddy, then I want to have a relationship with him too. We got a huge responsibility, don't we? And the last thing, and I want to finish with this, is we got to point people to Jesus. And one of the first things I say to people that I'm counseling is I quote John the Baptist when John the Baptist went around frequently declaring, I am not the Christ. I don't have the answers for your problems. We don't have the solution to anybody's challenge. But how many know? We know who does. And if we simply get people before Jesus, we know that he will nurture. And there will be a moment that they could respond to him just like Timothy did. I don't know who the difference makers in your life has been. But one of the people, if I got serious about it, that has in some ways set the trajectory of my life, maybe in comparison more powerfully than others, was someone that I had a coincidental encounter with in a casual conversation before I was following Jesus in a serious way. I happened to bump into a guy that I knew that used to be in ministry, but when I bumped into him in that moment, he wasn't in ministry anymore. I was always drawn to him. He was somebody that genuinely cared for me, and I encountered him in a time in my life where I was at the lowest of the low. And I was going through a lot of trouble, a lot of problems in my life. And he just encouraged me. In fact, he probably doesn't even know the conversation was so significant. And how many know that sometimes some of the most powerful things happen without us even knowing it? But for me, his simple conversation with me, and he basically just told me, he looked at me and said, Josh, you know what you need to do, so just do it. And that moment was sort of like the first domino in my life. It was almost like the tipping point where every other part of my life began to move towards surrendering to Christ in my life. And I look back in that moment, I thank God for a coincidental interaction and a casual conversation with somebody who is willing to step out and say something. Small things. It's not the big things, is it? Edward Kimball. Let's say he's top three most influential people in the world. Well, who was he? Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. Wasn't significant because of the class that he led, but because of the people that he encountered. In Edward Kimball's life, he led Dwight Moody, D.L. Moody, to Christ. D.L. Moody ended up becoming a massive leader in the body of Christ. D.L. Moody's ministry impacted J. Wilbur Chapman. J. Wilbur Chapman was saved under Dwight Moody's life. J. Wilbur Chapman led Billy Sunday to Christ, became an evangelist, a powerful evangelist that ultimately led Mordecai Ham to Christ. And Mordecai Ham, in his ministry, ended up leading Billy Graham to Christ. Billy Graham, maybe most certainly in the body of Christ in the last 100 years, bigger difference than anybody else. Billy Graham preached live to audiences of over 210 million people. Billy Graham's ministry recorded 3.2 million recorded decisions for Jesus. And if you go back, the man behind the man, behind the man, behind the man, behind the man, is a simple Sunday school teacher showing up, serving, faithful with his church, impacting people. No telling what it would amount to. And I just want to encourage those of you who feel like what you do here or what you do in your job, what you do in your life doesn't make a difference. Sometimes the difference you make is not with the people we impact, but with the people we impact. Our job is to do nothing more than to sow, plant, water, and watch God grow it up. I want to encourage you today that what you do matters. You're indispensable in the body of Christ. Don't diminish yourself because in comparison to other people, you don't feel like what you do matters or measures up. Who knows? Who knows the type of impact that you're making? Trust God with it. Show up every day. See potential in people. Be life-giving. Speak life into people. Point people to Jesus and wait and watch how he uses you in powerful ways. Edward Kimball's a great example for those of you who show up at this campus and you serve faithfully every week and you leave and you get in the car and you wonder, does this even matter? Well, you don't know who you're serving in the lobby. You don't know whose baby you're taking care of. You don't know the kids that you're imparting to. If we showed up every day of our life and we encountered people around us, our neighbor, our coworker, the people that are sitting next to us in class, these are not mortal people. God has something for them. He wants to use us. Why don't we bow our heads? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to encourage you, ma'am, sir. What you do matters. Your life matters. You have something to offer that nobody else has to offer. And if you don't give it, we don't get it. We don't receive it. We are not seeing the blessing if you don't use what he's placed on the inside of you. So I want to encourage every individual, every person, every here who knows Jesus with their life, has trusted him with their life. I pray that you would be encouraged to be faithful. Do not grow weary in well-doing because you don't know when the harvest is coming, but keep sowing, keep watering, keep planting, and wait and watch how God will bring it to pass. I know that there's people in this room that don't know Jesus. You don't have a relationship with Christ. You've never surrendered your life to Christ. Maybe you've been to church. Maybe you've been religious. But you in your heart, you resonate with this. Does my life matter? Is what I'm doing important or significant? Can I encourage you? We typically try to impress others to try to find a place of redemption in our soul, to try to feel like we're important. I want you to know you're important because of what God has done for you. We sang about it this morning that he comes down, that God comes down in order to convince us of his goodness. I want you to know no matter what you've been going through, no matter what's happened in your life, that he stands ready to receive you right where you're at. If you don't know Jesus, maybe you've never made him the Lord of your life, or maybe you've wandered away from him, I want to lead you to him. I want to introduce you to him this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down forward, but I really want you to respond to this. Don't hesitate if God's knocking on your heart. If you're here today and you need to say yes to him for the first time or come back to him, would you just slip your hand up so I can see and pray for you? Awesome, sir. Yeah. Yes. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you know every heart in this place. You know where they're at, Lord, and I thank you that you stand ready to receive us. I want to encourage you. I want to lead you in this prayer, and I want everybody to pray this prayer after me. I want you to mean it from your heart, whether you raised your hand or not. I want to give you an opportunity where you can come back to him this morning. Everybody say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. I need you in my life. I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. Make me new. I believe in you, that you died and you rose again. I give you my life. I trust you with my future. Help me to live for you and to serve others for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, can we celebrate those that made decisions for Christ today?